Good morning. It's the first Friday of the month, and look who's across the table from me. In person.
Good morning, handsome. Good morning, everyone.
You use the term loosely, but in any case, I'm glad you're here.
Thanks. I am super excited to be here as well.
How long has it been?
It was March of 2020 when I was on with my last guest. So not I've been on.
Yeah.
But the last time I was in studio and the last time there was a guest on air with us was March of 2020.
Wow.
Right before the big kaboom.
Yeah, well.
But we're here now, so.
And everything's good.
It's great. I want to get started, though, so, because you know how it goes with me. You'll be cutting me off. You'll be like, Sandra, we're running out of time. So
I won't do that.
One item on the community calendar for March, which, you know, every year I have to announce. So Glenna Farms has their Maple Fest coming up on March 26th and 27th from 10 to 2. I mean, the shops open longer, but for their events, it's such a fun time. So they do free pancakes, they've got syrup tours, and Rick Glenn is just a sweetheart.
Free?
His mom Ruth is at free. And then they do sausages, and I think you get like three for a dollar or something. So it's a really good deal. There's coffee. And,
yeah.
This year they're going to do some giveaways and some different things, and they're having a horse-drawn wagon ride. So just a fun day to get out with the family. They're just north of Highway 8 on 120th. So check out Glenna Farms for their Maple Fest.
When is it?
March 26th and 27th.
Okay, it's getting close.
It is.
Maybe by then it'll warm up a tad.
You never know. It's still a good time. They've got some areas, like a barn area you can eat,
sure.
You know, sit at, so you're not totally out in the elements. But.
Sure.
Well, everyone, I am happy to say not only am I in the studio, but I have a guest today. I have Lisa LaQuay. I practiced this. Quiacopacus from Silver Creek Herbals. Silver Creek Herbals is just east of Turtle Lake, and it's in the same building shared with Crimson Hearts Studio. So good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. It's so great to be here.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to be your first back in studio guest.
It is. I am super excited,
Yay.
Too. So I always start off with this. How did you get into herbs? Where did that passion start with you?
I should have a really good answer for this because I get asked this all the time. I think, you know, since I was young, I've always been really into plants and gardening. And now that I look back at what I was like as a little kid, I realize how much I was really into that without really knowing.
Innately in like that.
I was always in the dirt and in the creek and digging and helping my mom in the garden. My mom had a huge garden for our family, and it was just part of our life. And as I grew older, you know, I got into different things when you're a teenager, and then as a young adult, I'm an artist. So that was kind of my focus for a long time, like art. But when I bought my first house when I lived in Arizona, it had this little herb garden. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is, I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm doing. And especially because it was Arizona, not Minnesota, where I grew up, completely different.
Yes, gardening in Arizona has challenges.
So I had to kind of learn what I was doing. And then after I met my husband, we moved back to Minnesota, and I had to relearn as an adult what grew here, what I wanted to grow. And then I had some health issues and didn't really get answers through conventional medicine and decided to kind of look outside of that and started getting massages and doing acupuncture. And I met an herbalist who she worked in St. Croix Falls. She's in Colorado now. And she really helped me learn that all of these plants that I was growing, I can use as medicine. And it really helped my issues that I was having at the time. And that prompted me to start taking all of these classes, you know, all of these little workshops, learning how to make salves and learning about different herbs and going on plant ID walks. And then in 2018, when I was ending my art career, which I'm a tattoo artist, I own Crimson Heart Designs Tattoo Studio, where the building that I share my herb shop with, I decided I was going to get serious and go to school because I realized all of these classes I was taking, they were usually beginner level, you know, workshops that other herbalists are offering, which are awesome. But after so many beginner level, you realize, okay, I think I need to...
You're past that.
I need to do the next step. And I also realized how much I loved it. I just love plants. I love learning about them. And it's just endless knowledge there. So I went to school in 2018 at the Midwest School of Herbal Studies. I'm in the Master Herbalist Program.
And they're in the Twin Cities, if
yes,
folks are interested?
Yes. It's a great, it's a remote program, some in person, but it's a really great program. It's accredited through the American Herbalist Guild. And that was really important for me to find a school that I know was going to be legitimate.
Right.
With credentials, because there's so many out there. You can go online and be a master herbalist in 3 months, you know, and I wanted to do it the right way for me.
So, well, and that almost sounds, pardon me, but like for doing it in 3 months, there's, with plants, I mean, yes, we always think of them as being so safe and everything, but you really need to know what you're doing and how things interact
right.
with each other, and it's important. You know, even with like the essential oils, everyone thinks, oh, it's essential oil. Well, no, some essential oils can be highly toxic and things like that. So
absolutely,
good for you to go through that follow through, because I use a lot of herbs, and it's not that I haven't shared some with people or done recommendations, but, you know, you're always hesitant because you don't want to be responsible for.
Absolutely. And with, you know, taking other medications, there's contraindications if you take this herb or if you're pregnant or, you know,
you even have, sun exposure,
you know, diabetes or you're on blood thinners, you know, sun exposure. There's so many things. Herbs are very safe, but there are certain plants that aren't going to jive with either your lifestyle, your body, or possibly other medications that you're taking. So you have to be really careful. So, you know, I'm doing that school program. I'm a community herbalist. I've got my Western herbalist certification and Asian herbalism and integrative. And now I just have to finish my thesis, and then I'll be a master herbalist.
Congratulations. So, yeah. That is so exciting.
Right.
And How long did it take?
I started in 2018.
Wow.
So,
well, it's like it's
years.
Getting a degree, though. It's
it is.
Getting a degree.
It know? Is. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And
a very specialized one.
Right. I thought the thesis would be the easiest part because I don't have to take a test or an exam, but it's really a lot of work. I love it, though. I'm doing my thesis on eczema.
Oh, and, we'll talk after the show.
Right. You know,
lifelong struggle.
It's for a lot of people. I have a lot of clients come in that they come to me with, you know, eczema is huge, anxiety, insomnia, weight management. Like those are some really, you know, stress is, you know, always a big for people. But right now, there's just so much of that.
Well, and stress tends to be a lot of times directly related. That eczema is your body expressing out of your body.
Right.
A lot of times an emotional
absolutely
situation that's happening.
Right. So once I'm finished with my thesis, I'll know a lot more about eczema than I did a couple of months ago, which
so
is great.
If folks wanted to come in, so you're talking about these different issues, weight management, eczema, just, you know, overall wellness and, you know, sleep issues, all these things. If folks wanted to get in touch with you, you do consultations
absolutely.
With folks. And what would be the best approach? I know if people want to grab their pens and pencils and paper, the contact phone number for Lisa is 651-442-4478, and I'll give that number at the end of the show as well. And then she does have a website. The website is Silver Creek Springs, which was your business prior to moving, and you had the creaky wheel and things
right.
on site at the house.
And Silver Creek Springs is the name of our farm, and that's where I grow a lot of the plants that I use to help people. And we named it that because there's Silver Creek runs right through our property, and it's spring fed. So that just seemed like a perfect name. And so the farm is called Silver Creek Springs now. And the business, the herbal part of my business is Silver Creek Herbals, and then, that's in Turtle Lake.
And then that's the Facebook. So if folks Correct. Are on Facebook, Silver Creek Herbals, which I've looked it up as Silver Creek Herbals on the website too, and it still pops up. So
yes.
Folks, you'll find it. Just remember Silver Creek and Herbs and Springs, and you will get there. So if they wanted a consultation, would it be better for them to call you first or just drop into the shop?
I would say give me a call or check the Facebook page or the website. I have hours posted. I post hours at the beginning of every month because sometimes they do vary. I'm normally in the shop Tuesdays through Fridays, noon to 6.
Okay.
You can just stop by. I have lots of great herbs available on site. I can do custom blends and tinctures while you're waiting for me. I don't do a long intake like a clinical herbalist would do, like a doctor's appointment where you come in and sit down and do like an hour and a half intake and consultation. I am a little bit more general. I think it's easier right now for folks to be able to just come in and ask a quick question. Because committing to a really long appointment and a lot of follow-ups is sometimes difficult for people to do, or just especially if they're not really sure that herbs are for them or it's new to them or they're just starting to learn. I want to be really available to the community. So you can come in, ask me lots of questions. I can sit down while you wait and look around. I've got lots of little gifts and some other fun stuff that I like to sell at the shop too. And then I can kind of come up with some solutions for whatever. And if it's an issue that I need to look into, and sometimes that is, I'll say, you know, give me 24 hours, give me a day or two, and I'll come up with some really good options for you for whatever the issue might be.
That is so wonderful. Yeah. And a lot of times people aren't necessarily comfortable to go to the doctor. And so you, like, as a community herbalist, you are there for the community. You're comfortable. People can come in and mm-hmm. get comfortable with you.
Yeah.
And as they get more comfortable and share more, then it's easier for people to work with you because they don't feel, I don't know, sometimes you go to the doctor and it's,
yeah.
You don't necessarily want to tell them everything. I don't know. It's
right. Or they don't want to make an appointment where they have to be obligated to show up and do that, and sometimes it's just easier to just come by and just ask, you know, hey, do you have anything to help me sleep tonight? And that is a pretty easy one for me. I've got lots of options. I got a couple of questions, like the different, you know, what exactly is going on, but it doesn't have to be lengthy. And not to, you know, clinical herbalists are fantastic, and I have the founder of my school is a clinical herbalist, and I've seen him quite a few times with issues with me, and that is for me a really great option. But I also think there's a place here for being a community herbalist and trying to help people have a good connection with plants that they can help themselves with it too.
And with, like, say, just as an example for the sleep, are you recommending mm-hmm. like valerian or hops, or what are some of the herbs that you
Those are two I like to recommend. I also recommend things like chamomile, skullcap for people that are really like
In their head,
yeah.
Isn't that great? Plant name, skullcap. And it helps you get out of your head. Like, motherwort helps
right.
moms and women. Like,
I know.
The names themselves.
And the shapes of the plants and the energy of the plants. I mean, that there's so much there that we could talk for hours and days and days and days about one plant.
Right.
And one thing I'm going to start doing this year, now that I'm a little bit more established in Turtle Lake, I'm going to offer some plant identification walks this spring and summer, which this week is my goal to write in my calendar when I'm going to do these. And then next fall, I'll be doing more workshops I'm going to do some matching herbs with chakra healing, because that's something that I'm really starting to get interested in. And also, you know, salve making and tincture making, you know, personal use.
And so enabling and encouraging people
right.
to be able to learn how to do it at home and make your own home apothecary
right.
and have your own little medicine
right.
cabinet, first aid kit.
Absolutely.
Ready to go with things that you find in your own yard and lawn. Right.
right? That
and
you don't even have to plant. You can just walk right. outside. And
people call them weeds. Shame
exactly.
on them. I call them medicine and
food. Absolutely. Right.
Do you have a favorite plant?
I think my favorite is probably rosemary. It's been around me for my whole life, and I just love it. I'm in love with it.
As culinary or as medicine or beauty or?
Medicine for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm very, you know, for me, smells are really, like, my sense of smell is really good.
That's your superpower.
That's my sense. And rosemary to me is just, like, it's my favorite. It's just my favorite. I just love that plant.
Do you like the stimulation or the clear mind?
The clear mind. So when I when I've been studying these past 4 years, I have a little sprig of rosemary next to me that I touch all the time when I'm studying. That's my little
rub
thing.
And
I smell it. Yeah. Yes. And it's great for your memory. It's great to retain information. It's stimulating. Right. So that's my study buddy.
Well, and I talk about the language of flowers a lot. I reference that a lot. And that is rosemary. It's remembrance. And I would have never equated it. I always think of it in more of a nostalgic way or something. But to use it for study, and I know about the clear mind, but to equate that too with the enabling you to have recalling the information that you're studying is great.
And I think I have a very bad memory. I have you know, I forget names. I forget faces. Sometimes I just blank out when somebody asks me a question that I really know the answer to. So for me, rosemary not only probably helps with that, but it also gives me the confidence. It's like my security blanket that I feel like it's helping me with that, because I do have not a great memory, and I've been like that for a long time.
So it's your friend.
It is my friend. But there's all these other plants that I'm just in love with. I'm constantly falling in love with plants.
So I want to go back so I don't get too off track, and then we'll go on to my next question. I could use some rosemary now just to stay focused. So you talked about getting your calendar together.
Yes.
Please, please, please email me. And
I will.
Folks, plantrant93.1@gmail.com. So if you folks have any questions for myself or for Lisa too, feel free to go through the email and I will get that message. Or if you have plant questions. But Lisa, please email plantrant, and then happy to announce. Though, you know, I always do the community calendar at the beginning of every show, and I'm sure people would love to go out on one of your walks or do some of those classes.
Absolutely.
How many people go on a walk with you? Is there a limit?
You know, I would say a good amount would probably be around a dozen or less, only because just so everyone can see the plants we're talking about and hear me and stay as a group as we're walking and be able to see.
And you don't want to tramp the area down.
Oh, I think that's okay, because my plant ID walks are, you know, native plants that are growing in the area that are off the side of the path.
Gotcha.
And I think that's totally okay to interact really closely with them. And if we step on a little bit of red clover as we go, you know, it's just, it happens. But
it does.
I think that would be great to do. And so I think my first plant walk will probably be the beginning of June, just because of what our season is like. I want to make sure there's enough up and out that we can talk about. Well, there's always going to be, in the minute the snow melts, I can find something to talk about. But I think that would be less likely to be bad weather.
People are going to have that vibe. Not everyone is as excited about us to
right, we don't want to be out there in mid-May and, you know, not have too much to look at. And I'll probably do a few through the season.
Well, yeah, just let me know and I'm happy to announce it. So when you're getting your herbs, you talked about, you know, growing a lot of things yourself and on the farm. So are you locally sort like wild harvesting a lot of your herbs that you have available?
I do both. I cultivate and wild harvest. So every year I try to add a medicinal plant or two to the property. And I choose a plant that's you know, perennial, that's going to come back every year, that is great for our zone. So I feel like for me and the Silver Creek Springs, the property, I feel really connected to it. Like, I want to take care of it. I want to, while I'm there, improve it and be a steward of it and hopefully these plants will just keep coming back every year, and this is going to be this beautiful place with all of these medicinal plants. So I do cultivate, but I wild harvest a lot. I mean, there's just so much out there. I harvest jewelweed, prickly ash, plantain. Oh my goodness, there's so much.
Nettles,
clover,
nettles.
Nettles. I have so much nettles.
Yarrow. What is prickly ash?
Prickly ash.
When I was a kid on a farm, one of my jobs was to clear it.
It is right. A native, though. That's the beauty.
I
prickly
know.
Ash can be
yes.
rough to go through.
But it's medicinal?
It's very medicinal. It's
wow.
really versatile. I actually almost did my thesis on prickly ash because I'm really in love with it. I use the berries. Prickly ash is the northernmost citrus fruit, which seems crazy. But if you smell the berries, they're really citrusy. They're these little red, kind of dark red berries. And yeah, prickly ash is prickly. I
can
mean,
you
it's got thorns.
Raw?
You can dry them and put them in like in a pepper grinder.
Oh.
And use them as a hot spice because they're spicy. They're hot, kind of like a Szechuan pepper, that same kind of level of heat. And a lot of people use them, it's culinary, but I think that you usually see it dried, like as like how you would use a pepper, like black pepper.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I learned stuff. I'm so happy to learn these things.
And the bark is used for, say you have a toothache, you can put the bark there and it helps with inflammation. It increases circulation in the body. So if you ingest it,
and
it helps with circulation.
We used to cut that all out of our woods.
Right. Well,
and
it's
burn
pretty, it can be pretty invasive.
It's
you know?
Pretty invasive.
So
it is.
I wouldn't say it's like buckthorn, which is really, really terribly invasive. But
and non-native. So.
And non-native. But prickly ash is great for lots of medicine. So I use the berries, I use it to make an oil, a topical oil for people with arthritis, sore muscles, sore joints. It's really good to rub in. It kind of is warming, so it feels really good. And increasing circulation is helpful for really everything in our body. You know, if we keep our energy flowing, you know, circulation, digestion, all of that, then a lot of issues that we have as, you know, in our bodies are alleviated. You kind of take care of it if you can take care of some of the big systems, just generally, general care. Prickly ash is great. And I love how it smells.
I'm going to have to go out and...
Oh, yeah. Once the berries go, just, you know, smell them. And they have just a really unique smell. And it's really wonderful. So, yeah. But, yeah, it can be pretty invasive. And one of the things with prickly ash, that it grows usually on the edges of the forest. And they can be thought of as kind of protectors.
Yes.
To kind of protect the undergrowth when plants are young and growing up. Prickly ash protects those young saplings and seedlings to help that.
Like you were saying about stomping on things. Well, the prickly ash is there to,
just be careful when you get close to it.
Right.
Well, that's just it.
It's
but
got
then those little
thorns.
Babies underneath will be protected.
Right.
I love that.
And harvesting prickly ash berries is not easy.
Yeah, what do you wear?
I wear leather gloves.
Sure. And sleeves.
And sleeves. My husband helped me one year, and he didn't wear any gloves. And what happened, and this was a learning curve for us, he got kind of like burns on his fingers because there is that heat to them.
Oh,
so
wow.
A little bit of vinegar and that was fine, but it was almost, he said it almost felt like a chemical burn.
So it really is like handling peppers.
Yes, very much like handling peppers. So now, and I always wore gloves just because I always would get the thorns in my fingers and it was horrible. So it's a little bit of a, you know, you really have to love to harvest prickly ash because it takes a long time. It's slow. But then you're out there and you're smelling it and you're out in nature. And it's just, I don't mind that it's a slow harvest because it helps me slow down. It helps me really be present in what I'm doing. So
sounds very grounding.
Yeah.
Are you peeling the bark? Is it the outer layer? And then are you tincturing that or dry? Like, how are you using the bark?
Yes, that's how you do. You could do the bark. You can dry it or you can make it into powder or tincture it.
Okay.
Yes. And you use the whole, you don't have to like peel the bark. I mean, you peel the bark off of the you know, well, with prickly ash, I'm not being very clear.
It's okay.
Prickly ash, you can trim the twigs or whatever off the ends and then just peel the bark off of it.
Okay.
And you won't really hurt the plant because they're really...
Sure, well, pruning helps encourage.
Exactly.
You're probably making them grow twice as fast by
and
trimming
when you,
them.
And when you do that, too, it's easier to harvest the berries when the plant is younger because the thorns aren't as big and they don't hurt as much. So they seem to be, if you can trim it down a little bit, it's just easier in general. And the plants are super healthy.
Well, then how wonderful to see these prickly plants as a gift on your property that you can really use to help, help yourself.
Right, exactly. And we have a lot of it on our property. So that's one I wild harvest too. And then, you know, there's all sorts. We have wild bergamot that I harvest, mint that I harvest that grows that I didn't plant or cultivate, plantain, which people confuse. There's two different kinds of plantain. There's plantain that grows here and there's plantain like the banana plantain. And the plantain that grows here is a really low-level plant that grows in areas that, you know, like a gravel or pathways that are really traveled upon. That's where it likes to be. And
helps hold that soil in place.
It absolutely does. And it's a great medicinal plant. That's one of my favorites to wild harvest. And it's everywhere. You know, I walk into my chicken coop and there's like a whole patch of it. And jewelweed, too, is another one that is native to the area that is just this beautiful plant that I harvest wild.
And the hummingbirds just love it. I always let some jewelweed go. You have to.
Yes, absolutely.
The bergamot, I'm curious, do you use the flowers as well as the leaves?
I do. I use the whole herb. So okay. I use the leaves and the flowers, and I usually dry that for tea. It's really good if you have a cold.
Okay.
For cold season, it's a really good tea to have. Kind of helps dry you out. It's an expectorant. So, and another plant that smells just fabulous.
Yes.
And it's gorgeous, and the wildlife loves it.
Catmint, do you do much with that? That's another.
A little bit, yeah. I do a little bit with catmint. Not a lot. You know, and there's so much. Some years, and every year that I'm growing and harvesting, I think to myself, okay, I need more of that and less of this. And it's just this constant ebb and flow of what's coming in and what do I really need? What am I using a lot this year?
Right.
What am I recommending a lot this year? Maybe I didn't recommend it last year because the people that came in didn't need it. Goldenrod's another really good one to dry for like congestion and colds because it really dries you out.
That always cracks me up because people always confuse goldenrod for ragweed. And like goldenrod is actually like the medicine against allergies and hay fever and things like that.
Exactly.
Help you out. Are there any plants that you harvest and use the roots where you're doing divisions and things? Or
valerian, I use the roots.
Okay. Which that is such a vigorous plant.
Valerian.
Feel free to dig it out.
Right. I also use the roots of comfrey and elecampane. I use the roots. Echinacea or coneflower. I use the roots for that too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so much fun. Well, we have a few minutes left. So Silver Creek Herbals, just east of Turtle Lake in the same shared building with Crimson Heart Studios.
On Highway 8.
Right on Highway 8, so you can't miss it. And there is a safe turn area if you're coming from the west to the east. There is an extra lane there, which is always nice, pulling on and off of Highway 8. 651-442-4478. Feel free to give Lisa a call if you have a eating question or sleeping issue or some skin things going on or just in general. And then as her calendar fills up for events, we'll definitely keep you posted on that. And we'll have to do this again because I feel like we've like barely scratched the surface.
I would love to come back. And anytime anybody has questions, I love to talk about herbs. I want to educate and help people just have a really good relationship with plants and know that they can use it as medicine right out their back door.
I love that. Community herbalist, and this is the community station, so we're always wanting to
anytime
encourage that.
Thank you so much for having me here this
nice
morning.
To meet you, Lisa.
I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. This was so much
fun.
Please come back. And it's good to have you back in the studio, Sandra.
Thank you. Yes. And I'm not even experiencing any anxiety or anything. I'm